Let me tell you a fun fact. Within the last two centuries, more than 90% of the world's millionaires have been created by investing in real estate. But if done incorrectly, without the right knowledge, required skills, or partners, it can also create a ton of problems and a lot of sleepless nights. You feel like sometimes there are way too many gurus out there trying to sell you on a weekend course, or just too much noise to cut right to the facts? Yup. We did too, and this is why we started this podcast. Our goal is to provide real estate investors, entrepreneurs, and enthusiasts with all of the most recent knowledge, secrets, tips, tricks, and tactics so that you can grow your own portfolios, increase your returns, net worth, and most importantly, create generational wealth for you and your loved ones. Remember, this is your real estate career. Information is your sword and shield. So eat hearty, prepare for battle, and grind your way to victory. My name is Tejas Gosai. I'm joined by my partner, Jeremy Moyer, and we welcome you to the Real Estate Investor MBA podcast.
We just came out of an awesome episode with Michael Barnhart and Susie Sevier. Wow. I mean,
they're awesome. They're awesome.
200 units, a little under 200 units in less than a year.
Yeah, their first deal was like 88 and their second deal was 100 units. These guys are in the UK.
The UK, yeah.
And this is just a testament to how you can go from zero to 200 units, nowhere near the market. And they share everything about it. It's really wonderful.
They do. They do. And it makes so much sense, you know, when they start breaking it down, like not really reinventing the wheel. It was all about networking, right? Finding those doing what you want to do, talking with them, meeting with them, and seeing what they do, and then implementing what they do, and then just doing it.
Yeah.
And it was truly inspirational to listen to their story.
Yeah, if anyone who's considering real estate as, you know, legacy investing or their future, this is the podcast to listen to. These are the guys, and they're accessible, which is rare. They're very sweet, and they want to help people, which, you know, is tremendous. It's a great interview.
Absolutely, we hope you guys enjoy.
Cheers, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to your favorite podcast, the best podcast in the world. This is Real Estate Investor MBA. My partner, Jeremy Moyer, is here.
How you doing?
And as always, we have amazing guests, and Jeremy does a lot to make sure that we find the right folks. We've also had some great suggestions from you guys, so please keep letting us know what subjects you'd like to cover. We've got some LinkedIn comments. And Facebook. So we're all over the place. We're on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher. Jeremy, help me out.
Yeah, and Google Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio as well. Yeah.
So we're all over the place, and we are coming up on episode 45.
Yeah, we're in the low 40s. Yep.
Big thank you for everyone that's made our program possible. We love everyone we've had on in the past, everyone that's talking to us, and we'll keep it moving. So today's topic is wonderful. A little bit of a break from talking about regulations, tax code, 1031 exchanging, cost segregation, some of the more complex stuff. So Jeremy, can you bring on our guests?
So today we're excited to have on Michael Barnhart and Susie Sevier. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for having us on, Jeremy.
We're super excited.
Great. So Susie and Michael are founders of Aventurous Real Estate Investors. They specialize in a different kind of ROI, return on impact. I love that, by the way. Through real estate investing, they create immeasurable impacts in their family, with their friends, in their communities, and with the residents that they serve in the spaces where they want to be generous, which is everywhere and anywhere. Their adventure began at a TEDx event. The theme was reset, and it changed their lives. They took the event to heart and used that theme reset as a launching point to regain control of their lives, secure financial freedom, create long-lasting impact, and discover their why. So their why is to achieve financial freedom through real estate investing so they can serve others all over the world. They want to be able to explore this beautiful world and experience all that it has to offer. They want to create an impact where it is needed most and want to share this journey with others by offering impactful investment opportunities to their partners and to give back by mentoring others along the way to help them check off their bucket list items now, not after retirement. Michael and Susie, thanks so much for your time today again.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure being on here. Looking forward to it.
Great. I love that. I love that bio intro. So before we get into the main areas that we want to cover today, can you just tell our listeners a little bit more about who the real Michael and Susie are and how you guys started investing in real estate?
And where are you based and where are you on right now?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to. So we are in Cambridge, England. So we are all the way across the pond. Michael's currently active duty Air Force, getting his PhD over here. And I'm a program manager for a biotech company. So that's what brings us over. But our real estate journey started actually because of COVID-19 and the lockdown. So during the first lockdown, it was a little over 100 days. And the government just sent everybody home from work and said, okay, you can leave your house to work out once a day, go to the grocery store, go to the pharmacy. And so with that, Michael and I just looked at each other and we're like, okay, well, what are we going to do? Right. So like after he wrote his first year report, and I at the time had not yet began work, we were like, okay, we choose not to have a TV. And so we decided to have a mini book club with one another. And so one of those books was Multiple Streams of Income by Robert Allen. And Michael would read the book first and then I would read it. But he was like, okay, I don't think I actually have to finish the book. Can you please just read the chapter on real estate investing? I was like, yeah. So then after that, he's like, we have to do it. And I was like, let's do it, you know? And so from there, it was a lot of education, you know, listening to podcasts, attending conferences, finding meetups, reading forums, reading books, like all of the above. But I guess even like, yes, there's so much in between, but to fast forward, as of now, we have 188 units all the way from across the pond, and they're in the like Tulsa MSA area.
How many units?
188.
From last year to now?
From last August till now, yeah.
Sitting in another country without television.
That's right. That's how distracting a TV can be.
I was gonna say, this is more about the power of television. No, that's tremendous. I have a million questions about logistics, timing, property management, but we'll wait. So, Jeremy, I know you have some targeted questions, but just amazing, very exciting.
Sure. I think we're going to dive kind of, maybe it's going to be a culmination of all the questions all in one question. But so we have quite a few listeners, I would say, who are the buy and hold investors. They have smaller portfolios, singles up to maybe 10 units. They're looking to make jump into larger buildings. So I kind of want to dissect maybe your first or second deal, like from the, I think from like an investor's experience, it's always like the chicken or the egg scenario. Do I need the deal first? Do I need the capital first? Do I need to build my team? Like, what was that experience, especially from, you know, across the pond in the UK? What was that experience for you guys? How did you go about finding that right team, finding those deals, finding that capital? You know, I kind of want to go through it in order, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So what Susie didn't mention was that we actually had a false start. And what I mean by that is like, we had gathered all this information. We're like, hey, single family, I think is the way we want to go. However, so I'll tell that story in a second, but what we ended up doing was, you know, single family, we thought it was the way to go because it was us that could do it. And, you know, it was safer for us, because we were the ones, you know, injecting the capital and things like that. And so what we ended up doing was setting up a long distance team, like we were talking about, like building a team and stuff like that, especially from over here. We read a lot of long distance investing books. And so we set up a team in a Midwest city and we're like, hey, we're going to buy undervalued properties, rehab them and rent them out using like the Burr method. So buy, rehab, rent, refinance, and repeat that single family method. But we actually got two doors under contract and the unthinkable happened. A inland hurricane came in, which has never happened in this market before or this area. Came in, took out like 60% of the trees. Like the city was out of power for like 5 or 6 weeks. Needless to say, like those doors that we had under contract fell out of escrow because we needed contractor bids. The contractors were more concerned with rebuilding the city than actually rehabbing a rental property, right? And so we took a step back. We're like, man, this is a really unfortunate event for the city, but also for us. Like, we spent well over, you know, a month, like 6 weeks, like setting up the right team in this area. And now it's like in shambles, right? And we don't know what to do. And so we took a step back. We looked at our five-year goals. And one of those goals was to pivot into multifamily. And now I'm going to back up a little bit, because when we were going to conferences, learning more about real estate, one conversation that we had with somebody, and this somebody was Whitney Sewell from Lifebridge Capital. He looked me in the eyes. He said, "Michael, you don't have to start with single family. You can start with multifamily." And so even at that time, I wasn't ready to receive it. It planted a seed in the back of my mind, right? And so when this happened and we were like, okay, let's pivot into multifamily, that seed was already growing, right? And so we're like, let's just do it. Let's go jump into multifamily. And then we started attending conferences and networking events and things like that, and seeing other people in the multifamily space. And we're like, wow, if these people can do it, we can definitely do it, right? So you just see a lot of yourself and other people. And when you start hanging out with the right crowds that you want to do, or the people you want to become, you start seeing yourself a lot in these people. And you're like, wow, these people can do it. We can definitely do it. So with that, we started posting more and more about getting into multifamily. And actually, one of my classmates from college reached out and was like, hey, I'm full-time real estate. I'm looking to make a change into multifamily as well. And he was actually living in a market that we were interested in, which ended up being Oklahoma City. And Tulsa is just a short drive from there. And so that is actually how we initially started our boots in the ground, got our boots in the ground, and started that long distance multifamily team.
Can I jump back for a second? So the conferences and where you met Whitney, also a big fan. I got to be on his podcast last week. Huge dude.
Yay. Oh, nice. That's awesome.
I was like floored. But what conferences were you attending? Where you came over here, I assume?
Oh, so no, they were all virtual. So that was the best part, right? Because everything went virtual and that was our opportunity. So last year we actually attended 10. Because of that, because we didn't want to be in the position where like we only went to a few and then they started to go to in person and we were like, oh, well, now we have to pick and choose and we really don't know which ones we should go to. So no, we went to all of the above, really, right? Yeah. Like some from Brad, some Rock. We went to BEC, granted that was in February. We went to Old Capital Conference. We went to Veterans Real Estate Investors. It kept going and kept going. Really, like if there was a conference, we were attending.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a true testament to like a lot of our listeners. They might be starting their journey. Some of them are veterans, but you know, Jeremy and I keep saying this, like, just do it. It's really hard to say, but just do it. And you guys are a clear example of going from zero to 200. When did you get your first property?
So we made this pivot to multifamily in August of last year, like the beginning of August. And so it's August of 2020. And so we made that pivot and then we actually were submitting LOIs like crazy. And we actually didn't get this property under contract until December 6th, 2020. And then we closed on it in February. And then, you know, and then shortly thereafter that we got our second property and closed on that at the beginning of July. So
that's tremendous. Can we go through that first deal like step by step? So like, did you meet these brokers just through posting online? Did you meet these brokers through the network events? Like, how did you develop that relationship as in someone without having really any real estate investing experience? Like, how did you kind of portray that confidence, right, to have that broker trust and, you know, and give you deals to look at?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so we had like a really weird, like into the market, if you will, like it wasn't like a traditional, but like what I ended up doing was writing up a cover letter, like with everybody on our team, everybody's bio, including like what lender we were probably going to go with, the property management company we were going to use because we already had that figured out. And also like any other vendors we were going to use, like insurance or I don't know, just name a vendor that you need to close on a property. Like we had all those listed out in our cover letter. So when I sent that to the broker, I emailed that to brokers. Once I identified the top brokers in the area, I sent a cover letter with a little email intro. And was like, hey, my name is Michael Barnhart. I'm a multifamily investor, you know, looking to break into this market, right? And it's like, here is our cover letter about us. Additionally, we had a mentor. This is an organic mentor that we had on our team as well. And we were able to leverage their experience as well on that cover letter, right? So like, yeah, this is our team. This is our experience. And from there, that does not get them to start sending you deals. I'll tell you that right now. But what that does get them to do is answer the phone, at least when you call, right? And so from there, you can pick up the phone, you can call. And because of COVID and everything that was happening, a lot of brokers, you know, you meet brokers for coffee, for dinner, whatever. You know, you usually meet brokers to build relationships in person. But because of COVID, we had a very unique opportunity where they were like, yeah, let's hop on Zoom. Let's get to know each other. And so like, they had no idea where we were, right? Like, I mean, they eventually found out that we were over, you know, 4,000 miles away, but they didn't know, I mean, that we couldn't meet them for coffee or something like that. So,
but even with that too, like we actually treated them like humans, right? So like when they were to email us, we emailed back. If they sent us a deal we didn't like, we actually emailed them back and said why. Like if there was a deal that we did like, we sent feedback. So we weren't acting like it was a one-way relationship. We like actually made it a relationship, right? And that's the biggest part, you know, especially with us being over here, everybody wants to talk about football. And so it's like, oh my gosh, what's happening like on that side of the world with sports? And like, you can connect easily. And so it was just calling them and even talking about sports. It just made it very simple, you know, because like, we are all dying for their time. But then when it comes to like, just having those casual conversations, all of a sudden, we don't want like, oh, I don't have time for that. It's like, I'm confused. What, where's your time going then, you know? And so just really treating them like humans.
I got to jump in. I'm a real estate agent. And what you just said made my day, because there's not enough people that truly understand that. It's really, you know, realtors are disposable. That's kind of some of the mentality. But we really are the ones that will make you rich if you answer the emails and give us a call and come to our territory and treat us like humans. That is so sweet of you. Thanks. Sorry, I just had to.
No, thank you. No, it's true. So.
You started talking to the brokers, right? You had some conversations with them on the phone, and then what did that look like after that?
So then they just started sending deals, you know, here, you know, some deals not so great, some deals decent to whatever, and then the deals, you know, of course that were decent, everybody else was submitting LOIs on them as well. So we were submitting a couple of LOIs with this one broker, and then we missed out on one deal, and then we got this other property that he sent to us. And initially when we saw it, I think it was like maybe end of August, beginning of September or something like that. I think it was end of August. We initially looked at it. We were like, not that thrilled about it. We loved the asset, but we weren't thrilled about the financial and where it was financially. And so we ended up following that property for, I want to call it, like we courted it for several months, just like following, getting updates on it and stuff like that. And actually when October came around and it was stabilized then for 2 months, we're like, okay, this is a perfect time. Like it could potentially become, you know, fully stabilized, you know, 90% occupied for at least 90 days. It was already 90% for 2 months, 60 days. And so we're like, okay, it's trending in that direction. Let's go ahead and submit an LOI. And so we submitted an LOI. Of course, everybody else submitted an LOI as well because they saw the same things we did. But because we had that track record and we had that experience, and actually our mentor, who was a local investor in that area, like again, an organic relationship that we had built. We can talk more about that in a second. But that our mentor also closed several deals with this broker and was able to convey to the seller, like, hey, these guys can actually... guys and gals can actually close on this property. So
I'm going to chime in again as a realtor, people like as a listing agent, we're predominantly listing agents. People don't get that. We really have a deference. Like we, you know, if there's an agent that we have a better relationship with, we're going to say that to the seller. And, you know, a lot of people don't get that this is how it works. You really got to, you know, be responsive. And that's wonderful that you guys jumped in at the right place, the right time. So then you got that deal accepted and then you had to go into due diligence.
We did. Mm-hmm.
And so that from over there,
we did a lot of digital.
Very carefully. So being over here, like we were forced to set up like systems and processes, from day one, right? Like we knew, okay, if we can't go on site for the physical due diligence to walk the property and stuff like that, since we have a boots on the ground who's also going to be a general partner, Like what things do we want him to look at? Right. So we started looking at everybody else, all the big players in the space, in the multifamily space. Okay. What are they doing for due diligence? Like, what are they looking at? Okay. Now we kind of like combined and took all the best things from everybody and combined it into one list. And then we're like, okay, this is what we need to look at during due diligence. Take a picture of this, write down these serial numbers, do this, do that, whatever, for our boots on the ground. And we actually had two partners plus our mentor also went for the physical due diligence and was able to take pictures, videos, answer all the questions that we had. And then we were basically FaceTiming them while they were there as well.
So. Yeah, because like even a big thing, right, is that when you're doing it for the first time, you will hear so often, I mean, it's just like an excuse or a limiting belief, like, well, I don't know what to do. And it's like, I didn't know what to do either, you know? But like Michael said, like, we looked at the top syndicators, like, oh, well, what is their checklist? What is their e-guide? You know, like, what are they giving away for free? Because I'm sure that they are sharing a lot of this same information, right? We're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're trying to do it as good as the best. So it's like, it made it just so much easier to think about it like that, you know, because like when you actually look at 10 or 15 like free guides, they have a lot of the same information just with some words switched around. And so like it just made it so much easier to be like, okay, well, if this is what they're looking at, this is exactly what we need to look at.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great. That's great. So you guys closed on that in December, you said, right?
February.
And then asset management. Now, once you own it, you got to manage and you have to execute that business plan. So like what, you know, KPIs, you know, the key performance indicators, do you guys focus on, do you focus on with your property management company? What does that look like?
Looks like fire.
<That's good. laughs> Yeah. So yeah, there's several so we have Monday, what I call Monday reporting KPIs.
Yeah.
And so we have KPIs that, so Susie and I, we're at Adventurous Real Estate Investors. Like our company was the lead sponsors on the first deal and also on the second deal as well. And we were lead asset managers on both of them as well. And so, you know, we, again, asking our mentor, asking other people what they track, like learning from the best. And you know how what they're doing for asset management, and then kind of learning as we go and tweaking things and setting up the systems, setting up the processes, setting up these KPI charts. But anyways, going back to that, you asked about KPIs. We do Monday reporting KPIs where we track income, work orders open, delinquency, of course, is part of income. But, you know, number of units need rent ready, like all this stuff, like notice to vacate and stuff like that. It's like this huge, long spreadsheet, I think, with the, like, I don't know, 25 different columns of things that we track every week. So, and then we also have a weekly meeting that's an hour, roughly an hour long with the regional and the on-site for both properties.
But then we also use Asana, right? So it's a project management software. And like in there, actually, you completely eliminate emails. Like everything is in one spot. And that's really what's been like so helpful is because like, and you know, I can wake up and not want to email people. It's like, oh, cool, the update's in there and everybody can see these same updates. So I don't have to worry about doing reply all 457 times today, you know, in order for people to see the string of emails. And that's been really helpful because then bids are all in that area. And, you know, if like Michael's at work, he doesn't have to ask me if I got an email. He can just go straight to Asana and he can see if the answer is there. And that's like streamlined a lot because again, like we're all being proactive instead of reactive when it comes to like asking for emails and asking for this and asking for that because it's all just in one area, which is wonderful.
Yeah, that was a huge shift for us. Like I'm a program manager by trade for the Air Force and Susie is as well for her company. And so we were using project management software on a daily basis for other things and like for our company. And like, you know, we use that for closing on deals. And I was like, let's just roll this over and use it for asset management. And it's just worked out great. And like our on-site manager and our regional and also the CEO of the company all have like oversight of like what's going on. And it's just like very fluid system and they just love it. And there's a bunch of different other project management software tools out there as well. Asana is just what we know and what we choose. So.
Brilliant. It's just so cool to hear what you've done. Because I don't know any other investors that have done something like this in such a short period of time. Did you, when after you closed on your first property, how close afterwards did you close on a second one?
So it's February, and then the end of February, and then the beginning of July. So it was like 4 months. And then we basically took like a 2 week breather and then went straight in. I only think it was 2 weeks.
I think it was like 2 minutes.
Yeah. We're like, okay, let's settle down. Let's like, you know, let this, you know, asset management, let's asset manage it for a couple weeks and then see how we feel. And then this other opportunity just came up and we just couldn't pass it up. So yeah. It was like a once in a lifetime thing. And we just submitted an LOI immediately. So
it's like getting a tattoo. You're not just going to get one.
exactly. It's addictive.
So like we like know what the like our exit is though, right? So like keeping the momentum is so much easier and like you have so much energy towards it because we know that like when Michael can retire in 7 years, if he has to work after that, that's like on us. You know, that's on nobody else but the efforts that we put in. So that's why it's like, I don't know, it's easy to go into it over and over and then over again, you know? And so like the biggest thing is that we want to be able to show people that they can do this from anywhere in the world, right? Because even before COVID, it was so many people were freaked out about doing it in a different state. But we all talk about wanting time freedom. But for a lot of people, that also means going to different places with their families. Well, how are they going to do that if they can't leave their asset, right? Like we want to work on the business and not in the business. And just like having like all those systems and processes really makes this just harmonious goodness within everything, you know? Yeah. And so that's really just the biggest thing. We want to like, even if we give one person the chance to be like, oh no, I can do this from overseas. Yes, then that's all we needed, right? Like, I'm so glad that one extra person took the jump.
It's awesome. Well, how big was your first property you closed on?
88 units.
88. And then the second one?
100.
Nice even number. Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's I'm just saying that because, you know, that's two deals and now you guys are set up pretty much to do whatever you want. Now you got a big name and you did major projects. So would you say it's easier now and you've made some big connections and you're working on some bigger things now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're actually under contract for a JV property right now as well that we're just like taking down ourselves, just like we're gonna turn into short-term rentals. So like, and just like things like that, like people we partner with, they just bring us these opportunities. They're like, hey, you want a JV in this? Like, yeah, absolutely, let's do it. And so like things like that. And then of course, like we built really great relationships with our insurance, you know, provider, insurance broker, some great lenders in the area, like local lenders. And then also like direct lenders for Fannie and Freddie, and then all kinds of vendors we've made like great connections with. So yeah, we're just like poised, I think, to do bigger and better things.
And now, I mean, You also become way more confident, right? Where like once you do a deal and then you do a second, like as before, who knows if we would have ever like thought about doing like a JV for a short-term rental, and now we can. And it's like, no, because I know how the numbers work and all of this makes sense. But, like until you like truly know that your own numbers work. Yes, it is scary, but it's not just scary for you. Trust me, it's scary for everyone, right? Like the first time we pressed enter, like to even submit our first LOI, like Michael was sweating. I thought he was going to like have heart palpitations. Yeah, like there's a lot going on.
$7 million, right? Like, you know, I've never bought anything that was like over $700. Well, maybe, but like over $7,000. So it's like, you know, $7 million, right? And I had to hit enter and send the email and I'm just like, I was definitely having second thoughts. But yeah, I'll tell you one thing that kind of helped us as well is like I mentioned that mentor, right? Like,
yeah.
And it wasn't like, we didn't pay for like an expensive mentorship or anything like that. But I mean, if that works for you, that's totally fine. But what we ended up doing, because we were networking so hard and we were telling everybody where we were going to be investing, like we're like, Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Oklahoma City, everywhere and everybody we saw, we were just saying that, right? Which then led us to additional contacts or in like introductions in those areas. Like somebody's like, oh, I invest in California, but I know somebody who else invests in Tulsa. Here, let me connect you guys. And that's actually how we met our mentor. And it's just like, met him, we chatted, we hit it off really well. And then I kept following up with him. And just like every time he would ask me a question or I ask him a question, like follow up, right? Like just providing value to him as well. And then we were just like, you know, chit-chatting about whatever. And then he was like, dude, you're like motivated to take down your property. Like, let's start meeting regularly, right? And so we started meeting regularly and like once a week for several hours, and then just chatting, looking over my underwriting, some of that, which then gave me more confidence, right? But and then closing on that first deal, having him in the back seat looking over our shoulder, you know, being a backseat driver, make sure that we didn't hit anything the whole way, you know, like it was amazing, and it gave us so much confidence, and we were able to then, you know, show, or that confidence like shown through us like when we were talking to our investors, right? So like just having somebody on our team that was a professional and like knew what they were doing, like I think it's absolutely necessary. Yes, you could probably do it yourself, but you might have, you know, avoid less hiccups and less mistakes if you have somebody who's very experienced to do it. So the second time, you know, this 100 unit, we didn't have him. Like he was there, like I'd call him and ask him some of that, but like he wasn't in the back seat anymore, right? And so like that was the first time that Susie and I really got tested to see if we could do it ourselves. And like, yeah, absolutely, because we actually wrote down everything from start to finish from our first deal, and then just applied that in our second deal.
But I even want to add, because like there's just so much to unpack all of the time. And so with that, we like this was all scary from the beginning, right? Not even just submitting LOIs, but doing it in general. So like I've also heard in the space, like, oh, I'm introverted, I don't know how I can get into it like you two can. Because like maybe right now in this podcast, you think that we're super extroverted people, but we're not. This took a lot of practice. Like I was the individual who, even when I had to like say an introduction about myself, it was scary, you know? But like, it's just, it really comes with practice and then figuring out like what you need afterwards to recharge. And so like to be able to do these and feel more comfortable, because like when you feel more comfortable, even like talking on podcasts or talking at a meetup or going up to people at an in-person conference, right? Because that's scary too in itself. Like it all just comes with practice, like, and it really does. And I know not everybody is going to do this, but like for Michael and I, even just like a personal to like work on ourselves and like our public speaking, at first our goal for podcasts was 12 this year. And then that goal turned into 100. So like once you do are on 100 podcasts, and once you start your own podcast, and once you go to meetups, not that you have to do all those things right away, but like you gain confidence in a different way too. Like when you feel confident talking to the people that you're in the same room with, virtual or in person, like everything even changes when you go to start submitting LOIs. Like it's all different, but it all just comes in time. It's not something like, oh, I can't do it because I don't like talking to people. Trust me, I didn't really like talking to people either. I've been in the same like house for almost a year and a half. I get it. But you just have to like, everything is with practice, right? Like we don't get better at anything unless we truly practice.
Yeah. Practice makes permanence. Jeremy, our editor is going to kill us. We're at 30 minutes. You got a last one?
No, I do. So, next steps advice. So again, let's say our listener is an investor, just came across larger multifamily. Maybe they're buy and hold 2-4 units, kicking around the idea of getting into larger buildings. What is one piece of advice that you would give them as like a next step that is actionable, that they could listen to this episode tomorrow, today, they could implement right away, they can start doing?
I mean, I would say go to meetups. Like meetup. When you surround yourself with people who are doing bigger deals than you, you will start to want to do bigger deals than what you're doing. Like just get into that space, because like, when they tell you, oh, I used to do 2 or 4 units as well, you're like, sweet, they did it, I can do it. And it all comes full circle.
So actionable step, go to meetup.com.
Yeah.
Look up multifamily apartment investing or whatever keywords you want to look up. Find networking events. There are plenty of networking events across the country. So many great networking events for multifamily were born during COVID. That means that they are virtual and they plan on staying virtual. A lot of the other ones are like moving back into in person, but just go to meetup.com, find all the local or any kind of virtual event that you want to attend. You can attend them all over the world. We still do, you know, we're in England. We attend them, you know, several in like Washington, Florida, whatever. They're all over, right? So that's an actual step. Just go to meetup.com, get in those rooms. Like I mentioned in the beginning, and Susie just mentioned, get in those rooms with the people who are doing the things you want to do. Surround yourself with the people that are doing the things you want to do. And you will then see yourself in those people. And you're like, I can do this too. Absolutely.
Great. No, I love that. That's awesome. And then before we say goodbyes today, how can people get in touch with you? How can they follow you? Yeah, we'll put everything in the show notes, but you can sit here as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way to get a hold of us, is the easiest way, is just go to adventurousrei.com/info. And there you will be able to read more about return on impact, which we didn't get really to touch on that too much. But the different ROI that we focus on, that's return on impact. So you can read more about that there. You can find our podcast. You can find our YouTube channel. Connect with us on LinkedIn, all on that one landing page. Again, that's adventurousrei.com/info.
Tremendous.
It's awesome. You guys are wonderful. I'm going to do a little recap because you said some great things that I don't think are complicated. So one, treat people like human beings. I thought that was really wonderful. I think you'll be very successful in real estate if you just do that and answer emails and phone calls. Wonderful. Also, it's like you guys are sponsored by Nike. Just do it. Like you have a very do it mentality, which I don't think enough people do. And then practice makes permanence. I just thought that was all wonderful. So thank you guys. We have to have you back in the future.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe you'll close on 200 units by the time we see you again.
We'll come back. We'll talk about return on impact next time.
Yeah. It really is inspirational, though, because there's so many people that Jeremy and I run into that ask us, hey, how do I get into this? And they're in the market. They're our neighbors. We're in the Lehigh Valley. We have a tremendous market here, and they're just a little bit too afraid. So I'm going to tell a lot of people to watch this, but we can't thank you enough. And it's Real Estate Investor MBA. That's my partner, Jeremy Moyer. Thank you so much. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, all over the internet. And we encourage you to check out our last program and some of our future programs. Real Estate Investor MBA, it's Tejas. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Cheers. That's awesome.